So we're on Daf Tezayin with the Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, it's about 40% down the wide lines. 2, 4, 6, 8. The eighth wide line. Tana Rabbanan. List. Time we ended with a little bit of ambiguity about exactly how the halacha of not doing anything, tzitzios haderech, driving, etc. We're going to see it come out again in today's Gemara, Bezos Hashem, and we'll discuss it a bit more. Okay. Tanu Rabbana. Hapoyalim shayo oisim melacha etzavah abayitz. Laborers who are working for an employer. The time for davening comes. So now we're really going to get into the details of exactly how Chazal worked out the perfect balance of, on the one hand, they should get in the essential davening, what Chazal deemed basic, while on the other hand, not taking extra time out at the employer's expense. For example, if one of their laborers will say, it's my minig to say 20 prakam of Tehillim after Shacharis, and then have a chavrusa for an hour and a half with a coffee, we tell him, that you'll do tomorrow. Today, you hired yourself out. But not only that, we're seeing now the Chazal are mamish shaving the tefillah down to its bare minimum. So, laborers who are doing working for a Baal HaBayis are on the eighth wide line. Clearing Kriya Shema, they say Kriya Shema. That's basic. And they say the bracha before and after Kriya Shema. Those brachas they say. Ve'oichlim piton. And they eat their bread. And they say the brachas as usual beforehand and Birkas Hamazon. Or mispalalim tefillah shel Shmona Esrei, they say Shmona Esrei as usual. Avol ein yodim lifnei ateva, but they do not have a chazan. I mean, they don't send the chazan up to the amud. That's already too much of a process that they should not be doing at the employer's expense. Yeah. What happens with Kriyas HaTorah? Kriyas HaTorah, we have to realize that's another one of those things that we talked about in the past as a spiritual luxury that we have now. In earlier times, many people missed Kriyas HaTorah. In fact, many people weren't even able to make it to shul every day. The fact that we're able to do that is a spiritual luxury. But many people, they davened out in the fields, very basically. Kriyas HaTorah, that's why Chazal set things up in a way that they had their Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. For example, I forget now, but there are halachas of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos that are set up so as to compensate for the times that they miss throughout the week. I'm forgetting now what halachas that comes into play with. Brachas and Sukkot Dezember you can say before sunrise. But these things, Shema Esrei, etc., you can't. Shema you can say before Netzachama. Yeah, but. Yeah, right. Okay. What's that? No, right. No, we're not talking about the order here. Presumably, they weren't saying Birkas Hamazon in between Shema and Shema Esrei, but we're just saying what they do and don't do. But they don't actually send the chazan up to the amud, and they don't do Birkas Kohanim. Okay, so that's the program, the davening for a worker. Now the Gemara asks, this Braisa says that they say all of Shemoneh Esrei. Ve'otanya me'ein Shmoneh Esrei. We have a different price that says that they do not even say all of Shmoneh Esrei. They say me'ein Shmoneh Esrei, the abridged edition. There's an abridged version of Shmoneh Esrei. It's called Avineinu, which has, you say the first three brachas, one middle bracha which encompasses everything from Koine Nadoas until Shema Keleinu. Each bracha gets two or three word representation. One bracha, and then you say the last three brachas. When this is used, and when it's not used, we'll see later in the Masechta. Practically speaking, it's basically never used. But there is a price that says that that's what these employers should be saying. Employees should be saying. So again, are they saying all of Shemoneh Esrei or just the abridged version? So Amar Rav Sheshes, loy kasha. It's not a contradiction. Ha Rabbi Gamliel, ha Rabbi Yeshua. There's a machloikis later in the Masechta. Rabbi Gamliel holds that. Sorry, Rabbi Yeshua holds that a person can choose to say Avineinu every day. A person can choose to do that. You have the choice. You can either say Olam Shemoneh Esrei or Avineinu. Gamliel holds no. You have to say the full Shemoneh Esrei every day, except in the very specific circumstances that we'll discuss later that a person can say Avineinu. Mainly, Avineinu is established for a person who's traveling in a dangerous place and it's too risky to stop and say the whole Shemoneh Esrei right. But other than that, Gamliel says you have to say the full Shemoneh Esrei every day. So, that answers these two braces. The brace that says they say the full Shemoneh Esrei follows Gamliel. The Braisa that says they do the abridged version is Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, no, that answer does not seem plausible. Here Rabbi Yeshua, if it's following Rabbi Yeshua, Ma'iroi Poyali, the implication is that this is a special leniency that we afford workers in order to maximize their working time. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, this is not a special leniency for workers. Why specifically workers? Afilu kol adam nami. Rabbi Yeshua holds that every person can choose to say Avineinu every day. So why is the Braisa saying workers, they say the abridged version? According to Rabbi Gamliel, anybody wants. Yeah, the employer, the workers, or anybody else. The person decides Shemoneh Esrei is a bit too long for him. Avineinu, according to Rabbi Yeshua. So maybe they have Avineinu minions and full Shemoneh Esrei minions. What's that? Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel. You got to do the full thing except for dangerous situations. So the Gemara says, Elo idi v'idi Rabbi Gamliel. So rather, no, both are Rabbi Gamliel. This is the sheet that you have to say it every day. The full Shemoneh Esrei every day. And when it comes to workers, it depends on the arrangement. Veloy kasha. It's not a contradiction. Kan ba'oisim bischoran, kan ba'oisim b'su'udasan. There were two types of working arrangements. I don't know what it depended on. Maybe it depended on the nature of the labor. But there were some laborers who were so desperate that they would do a day's work just to get meals. They worked for the employer and he would serve them throughout the day, and that was it. That was the wage. So with such workers, we tell the employer, okay, look, you're getting a pretty decent deal here, let them daven the full davening. But workers who are being paid a wage, there we say they are committed to maximizing the working time as much as we can, and therefore Chazal come and define the bare minimum of tefillah that they should say. So therefore, workers working for a wage say the abridged version of Shemoneh Esrei. Workers who are just working for their food, they say the full Shemoneh Esrei. But Tanya, and we have a braisa showing that yes, we differentiate between workers working for a wage or workers working for food. Hapoyalim shoyu oisim melocha etzem balabais. Laborers who are working for a balabais, an employer, carrying kriyashma mispalalim. Yes, they say kriyashma and they daven, but Listen, this is a lot more of a stark list than what we saw before. Oichlin pita, when they eat their bread, ain't mevorkin lefanel, no bracha beforehand, no time for amoitzi. Okay? What? Huh? What's that? The bread, the bracha before food is drabanan. Amoitzi is drabanan. Birkas hamazon is daraisa. We'll still talk about this. So let's see. Okay, that's a legitimate question. Let's see. But right now what we're saying is no bracha beforehand. Too much time. Maybe they said it with a lot of kavana in those days. My wife had a friend who was a very pious young woman. My wife would call her, her mother would say, call back in about a half hour, she's saying Asher Yotzah. So maybe they said with a lot of kavana, but no, we'll see. We'll see. So that's number one. We knock out the first bracha. It's only the Rabbanan. Chazal knocked it out. Avol meborchin la'acharei ha'shtayim. Now, Birkas HaMazon he can't do away with because it's the Raisa. But we could condense it. Usually, Birkas HaMazon consists of four brachas. Here, only two. How's that? Ketzad, how does that work? Bracha rishayno kitikuna. The first bracha is recited as usual. That we don't touch. Shnia, that's noida lecha, right? Ala oretz. Paisach bebirkas oretz. You started as usual. Noida lecha, Hashem alekim al shimchat, when I say no eretz chendo. Bekoilalim boini Yerushalayim bebirkas amazin. And you kind of integrate Yerushalayim, the content of the third bracha, you integrate shortly into the second bracha, and that's all. No fourth bracha at all. The second and third bracha are bunched together. The fourth bracha is dispensed with because, once again, the fourth bracha is only derabanan. Same like care, kind of, right. Kind of. What's that? We'll see soon why we don't do this today. I'm sorry? Written out? No. No. Okay, so here we see Mamish, a very condensed bracha set. No bracha before eating. You sit down and dig in. Birkas HaMazon, first bracha regular. Then we got the second and third brachas condensed together. And skip the fourth bracha. Now, Bamed Varim Amorim, when do we apply that we shave davening down, Birkas HaMazon down in such a way? Ba'isim Beskaran, if they're working for a wage. Aval Oisim Besudasan, but if they're just working for their meals, then they say the full thing. Or if the employer is actually sitting down and eating with them, in which case we say, if he's with them and he doesn't protest, he doesn't mind if they say the whole benching. So then, they say the normal Birkas HaMazon. Meaning, when do we say that they condense Birkas HaMazon? If they're by themselves and the owner is around, they can't say the full Birkas HaMazon without his permission. But if he's there sitting with them and they go ahead and start saying the whole thing and he doesn't respond, that's okay. Okay, so now let's just analyze what we just saw. We saw that yes, workers working for a wage skip the bracha beforehand, and Birkas HaMazon we mamish mutilated. So, okay. Many of the Mepharshim say that the text that says to skip the bracha beforehand is indeed an incorrect text. That's Rashi's text. But they say, like the Olam was saying here, how long does it take to say Amoitzi? You need to say with a lot of kavana, half a minute is a long time for it. So therefore, basically all the Mepharshim say, all the other Mepharshim say that this text is incorrect. And Lamai say yes, they do make the bracha beforehand. Okay. That is the halacha also. As far as the end goes, so yes, the place can note that Birkas HaMazon is the Oraisa. And it means more than that. Really, we learn later in the Masechta that the content of the first three brachas is the Oraisa. So I understand that they can knock out the fourth bracha, but how can they go condense the second and third if they're both the Oraisa? So, are they going against the Oraisa here? So Taisa says, yeah. The Chachamim are exercising their authority. The Chachamim have the authority to command someone to transgress a deraisa passively. Meshev al tatsa. Meaning they can tell him, do not fulfill a mitzvah. Chachamim cannot say, do an avera, but they do have the authority when they deem it fit. The Torah granted them the discretion to say, do not fulfill a mitzvah. And therefore, in these circumstances, they were able to go ahead and shave down the deraisa and merge the second and third brachas into one bracha. What's that?
I mean, these brachas, the text of the brachas is not deraisa.
Oh, now, very good. So the text of the brachas, Jonathan is raising a good point, can certainly not be deraisa. You have to understand what this is saying. The text of the brachas is certainly not deraisa, because otherwise it would be in the Torah, right? Oh, the first bracha has a chashuva author. It's authored by Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, the Mafarshim say, by the way, that that's why that one we don't touch at all. Theoretically, we could have condensed the first, second, and third brachas together. But Moshe Rabbeinu, his bracha we don't touch. The second was by Yeshua, the third was by David HaMelech. What's that? The fourth was by the Chachamim much later, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, at the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's right, when the city of Beitar was destroyed, the Romans didn't allow them to bury the dead for a long time. And finally, when they were able to get to the dead, they'd been sitting there for who knows how long, they considered that a big mace that happened, that they were able to bury them, and they also discovered that they hadn't decayed. They were still lying there fresh. So at that time, they instituted this fourth bracha. But that's completely the Rabban. So, certainly the text... Sorry? I don't want to get into that discussion. I'll say we'll get there in the Masechta. I don't want to discuss the particulars of the Birkas HaMazon now, but we'll get there. It's a discussion. It's a discussion. So now, what is Taisus does understand, though, that these are meant to be broken into three brachas. So Taisus understands that, yes, we derive from Sukkim that the Torah requires us to thank Hashem for sustenance. That's the first bracha. Torah requires us to thank Hashem for the land while we're at it. That's the second bracha. And the Torah requires us to mention Yerushalayim and the Malchus Beis David in the third bracha. Now, Taisus understands that is meant to each one get discrete note mention. Meaning, the formula is not dictated by the Torah. But, they do have to be separated into packages. And therefore, yes, it's the Araisa that each one be its own separate tefillah. And therefore, the fact that the Chachamim go and combine the second and third, Taisus do view as an exercise of their authority to override the Araisa passively. What's that? Malchus. Malchus Beis Yehuda. But we wouldn't say David because David wasn't around at that time. But it was already ordained that the Malchus would be with Yehuda. This was already ordained by the Torah.
Mishkan.
What's that?
Mikdash
and Mishkan are interchangeable, meaning the presence of the Shekhinah, whichever it would be. That's right, from already then. That the Torah requires these things to be broken into three separate brachas. Bracha on the sustenance, bracha on the land, and a bracha on the Beis HaMikdash and Malchus Beis Yehuda, David. So the fact that we are combining them into two is compromising a Daraisa requirement. That's Toysis, but Lamaisa, the general consensus is that this is not so. The whole obligation of Daraisa is to mention these things, that's all. However you do it. Right? So, certainly the formula, but even more so, the division into three brachas is all Darabon. And therefore, really you could be Yitzhak the Daraisa by saying one bracha, by getting up and saying, Hashem, thanks for the food, the land, the Torah, the Beis HaMikdash, and Malchus Beis David, and there, you're done. So therefore, no, there is no overriding of a Daraisa in the way this is set up. So on the contrary, the Chachamim simply came and boiled it down to the bare minimum. They could have merged the first three brachas into one bracha, but Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha they decided to keep intact. Okay. Ran Tezayin Amud Aleph, down at the bottom. Almost at the bottom. Okay, now, what's the halacha l'maisa on all this? So, l'maisa, can a boss tell his workers? No proper benching, etc., etc. So the Pesachim already say that no. The rule is that Hakol Kamenig HaMedina, when it comes to all these different agreements and working arrangements, the arrangement is always based on expectations in that locale. And since it became such that people do hire others with the understanding that if they're eating a meal in the middle of the day, they'll bench properly, and if tefillah comes up in the middle of the day, they will daven normally, an employer no longer has this right. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that even if he says explicitly that I'm not maskim, it's too bad. And even if he hires them in the first place with this stipulation, he has no right to do it. If he doesn't want to hire work, go hire non-Jewish workers. But today already, a person does not have the right to hire with the understanding that they'll be cutting out, down, davening, or benching in any way. Now, I shouldn't say in any way, because Harachamon is room to wonder about. Harachamon is not even their Abanon. It's just a minig. That is room to wonder about. You say Harachamon on hired time. But again, that's only if the employer says that he doesn't want you saying it. Otherwise, we assume that he's hiring you with the understanding that Udavin had mentioned normally. A couple of other points are that Zimun is a question in the Poskim. Yeah, should workers get together for Zimun or just each one bench? You know, do your thing and that's that. So, Lamaisa, the Poskim, the inclination of the Poskim is to say that they should be mezamin, but only if they're all finished at the same time and it's a matter of, you know, just doing it. If it's an issue of some waiting for others to finish, the workers should just bench separately, not be mezamin, and just get back to work. It's actually interesting that I was in a from working establishment where they have a mismedrash on the premises, and there was a sign up. This is the company's mismedrash. Now the sign up, mincha must be what they call mincha ktsara. Now mincha ktsara is the hoichesh min esrei, right, where you just have the without the full chazaras hashatz. They said mincha should just be mincha ktsara, and they showed sources for the fact that we have a right to expect this. We want you getting back to work. Okay, maybe. I could hear. I could also hear not, but fine. That's what they do. So that's in fact in keeping with the understanding. The Paiskim do say they have the right to go to shul, but as far as sending a chazan up, that really depends on whether the boss is willing or not. Okay. Fine. Now, here Yerushalmi makes a very, very important inference, which brings us back to the discussion we ended with last time. Very, very practical discussion. Yerushalmi asks, why are we busy shaving down Birkas HaMazon? Let them get back to work and finish benching while they work. So, who can give us the answer? Based on last year, the answer is, what? Based on last year, the answer is, you're not supposed to be doing anything while you're saying a bracha. But here we note that this is actually, the Magen Avraham brings out this point. We're seeing a lot more than that from this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says the reason we shave the benching down like this is because we don't want them doing things while they're benching, which means that it's better to skip it than to say it while you're busy working. You note that? Yep. That's right. That comes out very interesting here. It's not just that we're saying it's not lefi the kavod. Better not to do it at all. Better to skip it than to say it while you're busy doing things. We'll get to that. We started discussing that last time, and we'll get to that. Walking, we're going to set as a separate shaila. We'll see soon. But activities, yes, this Gemara actually constitutes the source for this halacha. Yerushalmi, Maisa infers it from this braisa, that you see that Chazal preferred to exempt them from that fourth bracha and from half of the third, rather than tell them to do it while they're working. And therefore, it's taka considered a very severe iser to be doing things while you're saying a bracha. Like we said the other time, the Taz says that that's what the pasuk means when it says "Va'alachta mimi bikeri," if you serve me haphazardly. And the Taz says that this applies for all kinds of other things. When a person is doing a mitzvah, be focused on the mitzvah. Don't be busy with other things while you're doing it. It says, in a person who's learning, don't be learning, don't be looking and sparring while you're busy benching, just look at the Zimra, etc. So what's with walking? That's the next shah that needs to be addressed. What's with walking? So this we started discussing last time. What comes out is as follows. What comes out of the Maaseh and the Poskim is as follows. It is apparently better not to walk while you're saying a bracha, but it's not essentially forbidden. Better to say a bracha standing still, but it's not essentially forbidden to say a bracha while you're walking. Okay? But driving is questionable. Meaning, walking is clearly better not, but clearly okay, essentially. Driving is essentially questionable. Meaning, it's a machloikis apoiskim. That's right. You have to be focused on what you're doing. That's already a machloikis apoiskim. Machloikis between the Taz and the Bach. Whether one is allowed to be reciting a bracha while he's driving. Does this indicate that they had Ruach HaKodesh? Not necessarily, even though they probably did. They're talking about driving an animal. But the same thing obviously applies to driving a car even more so, because if reciting a bracha or the like while driving an animal is questionable, driving an animal was safer and required less attention than driving a car. So therefore, to recite a bracha while driving a car is problematic. How does this work with Tfilas HaDerech? So as we mentioned last time, and again, this is all explicitly discussed, I found afterwards, in the context of Tfilas HaDerech per se, the best thing is to pull over to the side, stop the car, and say Tfilas HaDerech like that. But, apparently, with regard to Tfilas HaDerech per se, if that's too difficult, or if someone will be too anxious because he's losing time if he stops, you can say it while you're actually traveling. Now this all applies to the driver. A person who's just sitting in a car or a bus, etc., that there's clearly no problem with, because that's called sitting still. So that's really the bottom line. So again, walking is better not, but it's okay. Driving is a problem. Except, or put it this way, it's really questionable. Except in the case of Tfilas HaDerech, where you are going to be anxious, etc. No activities. No activities includes any of these things. A person should not be drying his hands while he's saying Asher Yatzar Netilas Yadayim. In fact, a person shouldn't even be motioning or signaling. No noos and ahs and all that. Okay. Fine. We'll move on. Now we'll move on, really, to review a Gemara that we've seen back in the first parak. Chassan patur mikriyashma. A chassan is exempt from kriyashma because of the fact that he's anxious and preoccupied. We give him 4 nights. If he doesn't get around to cohabitating, we give him 4 nights. After that, he's like anybody else. Now, how do we know that a chassan is exempt from kriyashma? So, really, we're going to review a Gemara now from the first parak. Tanu Rabban says in the Braisa, "Beshivtecha beveisecha." Torah says that you have to recite kriyashma when you're sitting at home. Prat lo'isik b'mitzvah. This excludes a person who's engaged in a mitzvah. You're sitting around at home, you say kriyashma. Engaged in a mitzvah, you're potter. This is one of the sources of the famous principle that Oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, a person who's engaged in a mitzvah is patur from others. Sorry? Right, but that's not going to have a scriptural source because that's only the Rabbanon. Kriya Shema is the only biblical part of davening, so we actually have a scriptural source, pasuk from the Torah, exempting you from Kriya Shema. What's that? Yeah. Why does the Torah have to say that you recite Kriya Shema when you sit at home? Well, the point, the stress is, when you're sitting at home, meaning, you're not busy. You're not busy with some other mitzvah or something like that. What's that? What if a person is busy learning? Huh. Okay, well, we'll address that in a minute. What happens if a person is a big masvid, he starts learning from before Alayza Shachar, and he wants to learn straight through? We'll see. Okay? But, in general, a person who's engaged in a mitzvah continues his mitzvah. Now, you know what? I'll answer the question. Yerushalmi really gets into the discussion of a person who's learning. Can we say that? No. Learning, you do stop for Kriya Shema. Learning, you do stop for Kriya Shema, unless we're talking about a person whose sole occupation is learning. Like who? Like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Meaning, a person of the caliber that basically was non-existent already in the time of Chazal. Meaning, Chazal say that that's the justification to learn straight through the Zman Kriya Shema. If you take a break from learning to go pay a bill, you're not the type of learner that warrants exemption from Kriya Shema. That's kind of similar. Somebody asked the Brisker Rav once, if I'm in the middle of learning, should I stop to say the bracha on thunder? The Brisker Rav answered him, if you heard the thunder while you're in the middle of learning, you can say the bracha. You're not engrossed enough to be off the hook. If you didn't hear it, you're exempt. Okay. So, that's basically Rishama's conclusion. And the truth is that it's actually inferred from a Mishnah earlier. We saw what the Mishnah said. Now, when a person says Kriya Shema after the time, right? Remember we saw, if a person misses the Zman Kriya Shema, he says it afterwards, he gets schar for learning. Which implies, we saw the Gemara said earlier, that saying Kriya Shema at the right time is actually a bigger merit than saying Kriya Shema at the long time, even though you're getting schar for learning. So you see that? No, reciting Kriya Shema overrides the learning. Huh? Ah, okay, alright, I guess it's a competing shiurim. Yeah, okay. Sunday we'll be upstairs. Okay. Then we have, the pasuk goes on and says, so again, when the Torah says when you sit at home you're exempt, that implies that if you're busy with the mitzvah Torah says you recite Kriya Shema when you're sitting at home, implies that when you're not sitting at home, you're busy with the mitzvah, you do say Kriya Shema. Then it says, and in your travels on the road, prat lichasen. This excludes a chasen. How do you get from traveling on the road to a chasen? Like where Rashi is a couple of weeks ago, Ma'inin Shemitah to Har Sinai. What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? What does chasen have to do with the travel? We'll see soon. But when the Torah says, in your travels on the road, you say Kriya Shema, that implies that a chasen is exempt. Mikan Amru. Based on this, how we see that, we'll see soon. The Gemara will explain it. Mikan Amru. Based on this, the Chachamim said, HaKoynet es HaBesula Pater, a person who is marrying a virgin is Pater, that's Alman HaChayim. If he's marrying a widow, he's Chayim. What sense is there to that? Marrying a widow is not a mitzvah. Certainly a mitzvah too. We'll see soon. So now the Gemara just comes back and asks, one minute. We said, Torah says, in your travels on the road, you recite Kriya Shema, implying that not a chassid. How do you get that? My mashma. How does travels on the road imply that a chassid is exempt? Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa answers, Ki derech. Well, again, let's note that all of this wording is extra. Why does the Torah have to say you recite Kriya Shema when you sit at home and when you travel on the road? It says B'shach B'chom Kumecho. That tells us you have to say it morning and evening. Why does the Torah have to specify when you're sitting at home, when you're traveling on the road? So we understand that these phrases are coming to signify something. The question is why. So therefore, the Torah, the Chacham said as follows. When it says when you're traveling on the road, it's coming to tell you, when you are in a situation that's like traveling on the road, you have to say Kriya Shema. Meaning what? Ki derech. Whenever you're in a situation that's like a travel, you have to say Ma derech rishus. A journey is an optional activity, right? You have no chiyuv to go on a trip. That's what the Torah is coming and saying. You know when you're chayiv? When you are engaged in an optional activity. Like when you're on the road. So when you're on the road, it's not really coming to say when you're on the road per se you say Kriya Shema. It's coming to give an example of what sort of situation requires Kriya Shema. When you're engaged in your own personal activities. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. When you're on the road implies a personal activity. Who said? Is there no such thing as a mitzvah journey? Maybe the Torah is saying, when you're on the road for a mitzvah, you have to say Kriya Shema. Which implies, even though you're on the road for a mitzvah, the Torah tells you to say it. How do you know that on the road means an optional journey? So the Gemara says, no. The way the Torah worded it implies that the Torah is talking about an optional journey. In Kein Le'Merkro Beleches, what did the Torah say? The Torah said in a very specific way. It didn't say when traveling on the road. The Torah said in your travels on the road. Why does the Torah have to emphasize it that way? In your travels on the road. That implies Shema Mino Beleches Didocho Demechayvis. In your travel on the road, you're chayiv to say Kriya Shema HaDemitzvah Piris. But if you're on a journey that's not yours, meaning it's not for your purposes, then you're pater. What's a journey that's not for your purposes? A mitzvah journey. So you're exempt when you're on a mitzvah journey. And there we understand that yes, since a chassan is engaged in a mitzvah, he is pater. I'm sorry? Visiting the sick, I'm not sure, because that's a... Put it this way. If you're on the way to tend to a sick person who needs you, then you are exempt. That's mamish explicit. So, yeah. Now, last time we learned this in the first parak, one of the people, he's not here now, but one of the people from the shir came over to me and said, I'm a pediatrician. And I begin my work from before mincha time, say it, whenever it is in the morning after shachris, but I go straight to after shkia. He's got one appointment after the other. It's a mitzvah. Is he exempt of davening mincha? What does Oilin say? Seems so, he's busy with mitzvahs. Well, the answer is that in such a case you're not exempt, because if you would have one appointment that starts from beforehand and goes all the way through, fine. But once the time for mincha comes, you don't have the right to decide, you know what? Let me look up a mitzvah. I'm going to go get busy with a mitzvah, and that way I'll get out of mincha. Once the time for mincha hits, don't take on a mitzvah. Daven first. So therefore, yeah, as long as you're still busy with the appointment from before mincha, there might be room to argue. Even that's questionable, because when a person is engaged in something that's panasa, that might be defined more as panasa than as a mitzvah. Even though panasa could always be a mitzvah, but that might not be defined as a mitzvah activity per se. But even if we'll say that it is, you can't start a new mitzvah once the time for davening came. Now you can't do. A surgeon was performing a surgery from all the way from before the time straight to after the time. There's room to wonder, but not a doctor who's doing 10 minutes appointments. That not. But yes, when a person is engaged in a mitzvah from Yiparim, or even on his way to a mitzvah, like you said, even on his way to a mitzvah, that's why we have two separate psukim here. One is exempting a person who's engaged in a mitzvah, and the other is exempting a person who's on his way to a mitzvah, even though he's not doing a mitzvah right now. He's exempt of davening Kriyat Shema. Now, if the two don't conflict, if you're able to recite Kriyat Shema while you're on the road, then, listen to this, it's good to. You're not mechuyev, but it's good to. Okay? But you're still not mechuyev. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Iachi, so if so, we're saying that yes, a person who's engaged in a mitzvah, or even a person who's on his way to doing a mitzvah, is exempt. If so, my iroya koinis is habsula. Why do we specify if you're marrying a virgin? Afilu koinis is almananami. If you're marrying a widow, you should also be exempt. That's just as much a mitzvah. So the Gemara answers, Hacha tarit v'hacha loy tarit. No. A person marrying a widow is not preoccupied. He's not anxious. A person marrying a virgin when he's going to cohabitate for the first time, he's anxious. He's preoccupied with him. His mind is preoccupied with the mitzvah. And therefore, we say he doesn't have the right state of mind to say Kriyat Shema. But a person who's marrying a widow, he's not anxious. He's an old pro. Therefore, his mind is at ease. So he is not exempt. What's that? Okay, so the truth is there's a little more to this. There's a little more to this, which was more relevant in the times of Chazal. You know what? The truth is maybe it's more relevant today. A person marrying a virgin was in a little bit of suspense. Will I find her to be a virgin? So I wasn't going to go there. But that's part of the point here. He's a little bit apprehensive. We can run into problems tonight. A person marrying a widow doesn't have that anxiety. Knows what he's expecting. Okay. What's that? That's one of the issues. Right. That's why it wouldn't depend if this person had already been married. If the guy is doing his... Right. So I'm not sure if we need both factors. Maybe you need both factors in order to exempt him. I'm not sure. Okay. So the Gemara says, so all of a sudden you're changing your tone. You're saying that the point is not the mitzvah. Up till now we were saying mitzvah, mitzvah, mitzvah. Now you're saying, no, the point is not the mitzvah. The point is anxiety. So the Gemara says, Imi shum tirda. Oh, it's the anxiety that exempts him, not the mitzvah. Then why are you limiting it to a chazan, to a person doing a mitzvah? Anybody who is anxious should be potter. A person who just had a ship sink at sea, that's an anxious guy, just found out that he's broke, he should be potter. Now, Alama Omar Abi Abba Bazavda, but we know that that's not so. A non-mitzvah anxiety does not exempt you. Why did Rabbi Abba Zavda say, Omar Rav, in the name of Rav, Ovel Chayiv Bekol Mitzvah Samoris Batera? We have another person whose mind is unsettled. A mourner. A mourner is grieving. If anxiety, preoccupation is the cause for exemption, a mourner should be exempt as well. Why did Rabbi Abba Zavda say in the name of Rav, an Ovel is obligated in all mitzvahs of the Torah, chutz min tefillin, except for tefillin. Shari nemar b'in pe'er. Tefillin is a different story because tefillin express splendor. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, pe'er chochavu shalecha. The Torah instructs Yechezkel that even when he was a mourner, the Torah told him, you keep on your splendor, keep on your tefillin. Which implies that this was a special situation in Yechezkel's case. But normally, since tefillin is meant to express splendor, and a mourner does not express splendor, a mourner does not wear tefillin. But everything else he's chayavin. If anxiety is the cause for exemption, he should be potter. So the Gemara answers, Amri, no, it's both together. Hasam tirda dirshus. There, the anxiety is not anxiety of a mitzvah. It's optional anxiety. In the case of financial loss or a mourner. There's no chiyuv to be anxious. Hacha tarid tir de the mitzvah. But here, the preoccupation, the anxiety, is about performing the mitzvah that he's going to do right. So therefore, we're saying that it takes two things. It has to be anxiety about a mitzvah. That's what exempts a person. But otherwise, if a person is preparing to do a mitzvah, but there's no anxiety, or if a person is very anxious, but there's no mitzvah involved, he is chai. It's just interesting. Did you say something? Do we? Oh, so you're saying, do we require a person to get his mind off the anxiety? Perhaps we should. So the truth is that that's what we do say to the mourner and to the guy who just lost his ship. There is such a thing as a person clearing his mind. And Chazal said sometimes we expect that. But when Rashi stresses this earlier, when a person is preoccupied with a mitzvah, we want him to stay focused on it because we want the mitzvah to come out good. We don't want him to clear his mind. We want him to stay focused on the mitzvah in order to figure out, to be thinking, what's the best way to do it and to approach it as prepared as possible. So, this is how it comes out. This is really the bottom line, Lamaisa. Let's just note that there's a bit of a split here. Again, we had two psukim. One saying that you're putter from doing if you're engaged in a mitzvah. Another saying that you're putter if you're on your way to doing a mitzvah. This whole anxiety business was only said with regard to a person who's not doing a mitzvah right now. He's preparing for a mitzvah. When a person is preparing for a mitzvah and he's not doing one right now, he's on his way to a mitzvah, he's only putter if he's anxious about it. When a person is actually engaged in a mitzvah, he's putter no matter what. Okay, that's that. We'll begin the next mission. Won't lose 4 minutes. We move on. Back to Rav Gamliel. Remember, we saw in the last Mishnah that essentially a chassan is exempt from reciting kriyashma, and Rav Gamliel taught that. But yet, when he got married, he joined the minyan like everybody else. So they told him, "Didn't you teach us that a chassan is exempt?" And he said, "Leave me alone. Don't prevent me from accepting Malkus Shamayim," which he explained to me that he was different than most people. He knew that he was different from most people, and therefore he knew that he was on the level of being able to retain the full concentration. Now we'll see a couple of more cases where he considered himself the exception to the rule. Now we're seeing the end of the story. Fast forward ahead. We were talking about his wedding night before. Now we're talking about the end of the story. Rochatz Laila Rishon Shemesa Ishtoi. He bathed the night after his wife died. Amru Lo Talmida. So the Talmidim said to him, Limadetanu Rabbeinu She'ovel Asu Lirchoitz. Didn't you teach us that a mourner is not allowed to bathe? Omar Lahem. So he answered them, Eini Kish'ar Bnei Adam. I'm not like most people. Istanisani. I'm especially fastidious. And for a person who's especially fastidious and sensitive, he'll mamish be suffering if he doesn't have his shower. It's permitted. Now, once we're on the subject of responding to deaths, sorry? Yeah. That's another example. No, the skin problem is another example of a person who's allowed to bathe. Meaning, a person is fastidious and is suffering just because of the fact that he feels sticky. That warrants taking a shower. Besides that, if a person has a condition, lice, or these other things, a person is allowed to take it. Meaning, the point being that if you're suffering because you're not bathing, you're allowed to.
If
physical, physical suffering. Chazal did not mean, it's very different. Let's note, it's different. Chazal, when they prohibited bathing, the point was not to cause a person to suffer. The point was to deprive him of indulging. And therefore, this is not what they meant. But when we're talking about an other performing mitzvahs, it's mechayev to perform mitzvahs anyways. It's not like the whole essence of the mitzvah is to overcome your anxiety. The question is, does anxiety exempt you? So here we say no. But in a case where you're fastidious, that's not what the Chachamim imposed in the first place. Right? Okay. We'll just finish the Mishnah. Ukshemeif Tavi Avdoi, when his slave Tavi died, Magalil had a slave Tavi, who was a famous personality throughout Shas. Kibel, what? Eved Kanani. He was half Jewish, like any Eved Kanani. Kibel Alov Tanchumi. He accepted condolences, meaning he sat and people came to be Menachem Avel for the death of a slave. Amru Loi Talmidah. So the Talmidim told him, Limaditano Rabbeinu Shein Mekablin Tanchumin Al Avodim. You taught us again. He was contradicting his own rule. He said, you taught us that you don't accept condolences for a slave. We'll discuss that more in the Gemara. But slaves don't warrant Shiva and condolences. I don't know if he was sitting, he wasn't sitting Shiva, but he was sitting there and accepting Tanchumin. They were officially coming and being Menachem Avel. Presumably he wasn't sitting Shiva. But it's an entity in itself of being Mekabel Tanchumin. He said, people came to be Menachem. So Amar Lohem, he said, Ein Tavi Avdi Kishar Kol Avodim. My servant Tavi was not like other slaves. Kosher Hayah. He was a righteous person. And in such a case, he does warrant condolences, a certain expression of mourning. Now we just finish off. Chassan, imroitze likrois kriyashma layla rishon koyri. If a chassan, we said he's exempt, but if he chooses to say kriyashma on the first night, he's allowed to. Shimon Gamliel loymer, Shimon Gamliel says no. A person can't come ahead and claim to be pious. It's not just up to any individual to decide that he can do this. And therefore, no, a person does not have that right. Okay, we'll elaborate on all these things more, Be'ezus Hashem. Okay, yes, Be'ezus Hashem.